Good morning, church family. So just one more reminder with that we're going to be getting started officially kind of today is our kickoff day for small groups. Even if you aren't already a part of one of those, that is okay. There are still those sign-up sheets in the back. And don't feel like a sign-up sheet is the only way to do that. If you need to be in conversation with people or if you see some names on there of people leading things or that a group that someone else has joined and you have questions about that, please ask. We'd love for you to be involved with that. A couple of quick announcements as we get started, and I'll kind of come back to the small group stuff there. Don't forget, like I said, you guys are doing great for the 8:30 crowd, but 8:30 for first service, 9:45 for classes, and then 10:45 for our second service in case you're inviting somebody and you need to let them know our timing for Sunday mornings. But again, as we officially kick off our small groups today, even if you don't go to one today, that is okay. But what we are asking is that you make that commitment so that we can know who we have to work with and the things that are going forward from this point. So thank you so much for the dedication that so many of you have had to those and to leading those and to getting those things started. One other thing I want to remind you guys, on Wednesday nights, we started our youth group program over in the Family Center. So this Wednesday, we'll be in there from 6:30 to 7:30. Great chance for our 6th through 12th graders to come and kind of hang out during the week. Also have a time of prayer so that we can let everyone sort of revive themselves a little. That's what we're actually calling our time during the midweek there, is revive. So if you want to, come out and join us there. Otherwise, we do have some other Wednesday night things going on here in the auditorium, as well as a singing class back in room 109, and those are at 6 on Wednesday. Is that correct? Okay, 6. So we're a little different on the timing there, but we would love for you guys to be involved with some of our Wednesday night programming, too. Before we get into that, also want to offer our congratulations to the Stephenville Honeybees. Our girls team, basketball team, won the district championship on Friday night. So we've got some girls that are a part of that team. I don't think that they're here in this area. Absolutely, definitely clap for them. It's a so they actually play, I think it's Thursday, for their first round of the playoffs. So congratulations to the Honeybees. As we get started this morning, we're going to be in Psalm 72, a couple of verses we have to get us focused on what we're going to be talking about today. So Psalm 72, verses 18 and 19. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Let's pray to begin our worship today. Father, we are so grateful to be here again. Father, that you have given us a new day of life, a new day to live for you, and another chance to serve you. Father, as we come together to worship today, we are joyful in knowing that you are God. Father, we know that the last year has been difficult, and that we are getting to start a new year, but Father, the calendar doesn't matter. Our timing doesn't matter. Father, we know that it's you who are in control, and Father, we are waiting for you. We're waiting to see what you want us to do, and Father, we're ready to serve as you call us. Father, thank you for this group of people that meets here, for this chance we have to unite together, to encourage one another, and to sing praises to you. Father, bless us during this time that we share this morning. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
If you would stand as we start our praise time of worship this morning. Thank you so much for being here. I know 8:30 works well for some, and others it takes a little more. But we're thankful you're here. Praise be to God. That's what he just read to us. Let's sing right out. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, because your singing is beautiful to your heavenly Father. Sing right out. I woke up this morning with my mind staying on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind staying on the Lord. I woke up this morning with my mind staying on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 There's no condemnation when my mind staying on Jesus. There's no condemnation when my mind staying on the Lord. There's no condemnation when my mind staying on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Sing right out. I'm singing and praying with my mind staying on Jesus. I'm singing and praying with my mind staying on the Lord. I'm singing and praying with my mind staying on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I can't hate my neighbor when my mind's staying on Jesus. I can't hate my neighbor when my mind's staying on the Lord. I can't hate my neighbor when my mind's staying on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I woke up this morning with my mind staying on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind staying on the Lord. I woke up this morning with my mind staying on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb be praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And we the redeemed shall be strong in purpose and in unity, declaring aloud praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you for your singing this morning. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. And Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness.
We will worship him alone, and he is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. We give an hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. We place you on the highest place. For you are the great high priest. We place you high above all else. And we come to you and worship at your feet. We place you on the highest place, for you are the great high priest. We place you high above.
Good morning, church. I think it's appropriate this morning that we just spend a little bit of time before we get into the lesson with a focus on the Savine family. If you have not heard the news, Sherilyn died Tuesday morning. She had gone to Little Rock, Arkansas for treatment for the blood disorder, basically cancer that she was dealing with. From time to time, she would get treatment. She would get a chemo treatment and then have a stem cell put into her blood system to where it would help with what she was dealing with. It was a very dangerous procedure. Her weakened body was challenged tremendously by this procedure to begin with. And then she contracted COVID. And it was just too much for her fragile body to be able to take. And in the process, also, Doug also came down with COVID. So it's a very difficult time for their family, difficult for the whole family, not being able to be with Sherilyn through the process of it like they would have liked to have been, Doug having to be isolated, a lot of complications. So they'll be doing a service for Sherilyn later. It won't happen at this time. Maybe in the spring when it's a safer time for us to all be together and remember her. But I thought it would be appropriate for us just for a moment to spend a little time remembering them in prayer and to remember just our memories and our thoughts for her and to reach out to each other and love each other through the process. Doug sent me something that I just thought was just so precious coming from him, and I wanted to share it with you this morning as you process your own memories of Sherilyn, because I know you would love to have a memorial service soon and be able to honor her and be able to share your thoughts together. So maybe this will help, and then later on we'll be together with the family and we'll do it better. Doug wrote, Sherilyn was a very, very good person. Everyone loved her. I was fortunate for 6 months engagement plus 46 years, 6 months, 5 days of marriage. I'm a much better person because of her, but there are hundreds of others that could say the same thing. To hundreds, she was known as Miss Sherilyn for the cradle roll and for the Bible hour, probably about 35 years worth, not counting all of the little old couples that she saved financially. Are the couples having marriage issues over finances and she worked a system for them and things got better? Are the hundreds of people getting Meals on Wheels over the past 27 years, serving as both treasurer for life and a deliverer of meals? Are the ministries where she ministered to others who had poorly planned their finances and she rescued them by creating a path going forward? Are the dozens of friends and family in financial difficulty she bailed out? Are the neighbors she befriended with personally made gifts? I could go on and on. Are just the thousands of accounting clients that trusted her totally, in all caps. One attorney in town had told me after his mother died, I tried for years to convince my mother how to set up her estate, for she was very wealthy, and she always said, I only listen to Sherilyn. I suggest you do the same. And later, after her death and everything was settled, he went to Sherilyn for help for his own account. She never lost an IRS audit. She never lost a case in court. Attorneys feared cases where she was the CPA on the other side of the suit. Her clients range from little widows with only Social Security to individuals with thousands of employees in five continents. She was an amazing person. But the most important thing about her, she loved the Lord, she loved her family, and she was a servant who served the kingdom. All looked up to her because in their eyes, she already was floating toward heaven. I think that's quite an honor for a husband to say about his wife. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Father, I'm grateful for people like the lady that we honor at this moment. And I know there are many more, and there's much more we could say. But we just thank you for her example and for the way she shared her life with us, the way she served, the way she put herself on the line for you time and time again. We thank you for Doug, for serving this church as an elder, for serving this community as a mayor and city councilman. We're thankful for them as a couple and the way that they served others. And we ask, Father, for your blessing upon their family as they grieve the loss and also as they recover and go forward. We look forward to a day when we can share with the family in a memorial service, but until then, we share our memories in a special way with each other to encourage and to hold each other up and to remind each other that we serve in this world so that we might be with you later and take others with us. And we know that's what Sherilyn lived for, and we thank you, Father, for that example. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for that moment. I appreciate you indulging me in that. I just felt like it's something we should do today. If you will, you might want to turn your Bibles to this, but you probably know this passage so well. There's a passage in Esther that I want to just mention this morning. We're not really studying Esther this morning. But this statement is made in Esther that I think it fits so well with what we're talking about this morning. We want to begin a series of lessons from Ezra and Nehemiah. And what we're talking about is restarting, because we're trying to restart some things in the church. For example, our Bible classes and our small groups and what we're doing with various activities. And in the idea of restarting, the elders and I were talking about, we really need to emphasize this idea that it's not just the idea of going through the motions of starting certain things back up because we've had to pause due to COVID. It's the idea that that we're letting God use us, reviving us, renewing us in spirit and in heart and in ministry and in mission. It's not just about starting up a few new things that we've had to postpone. We really want that spirit of revival and renewal to be a part of this church. And this passage in Esther, I think, is a powerful passage. You've heard it so many times. But remember, Esther is explaining to Mordecai about the situation that she's in, that now she's in a position as queen, and yet she's heard this news about the danger to the Jewish people. And what should she do about it? And Mordecai says several things to her, but in verse 13 of chapter 4 of Ezra, I think is the important focus for us to think about. Do not think of yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. And if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to this kingdom for such a time as this. And we've used that expression, for such a time as this, in many ways, quoting this passage and maybe not even realizing where it came from. But what we want to focus on this morning is this idea that we have come to such a time as this for a purpose. Whatever God's doing in this, he's calling us to join him in whatever that purpose may be. So from Ezra and Nehemiah, we want to look at principles about restarting. Because in Ezra and Nehemiah, they have the opportunity to go back after being in captivity, to go back and rebuild the temple in Jerusalem and reestablish and restore the holy city of Jerusalem. And it's a great responsibility. But this great restart that they had has principles for us in our restart of things at Graham Street. And so I want to look at some of those principles this morning with you. And we're going to do a series of lessons on it. And they're going to tie into what we're going to discuss in our small groups. I'm going to encourage you, and I will give to the small group leaders discussion questions to use to go along with the lesson. But I'd like for you to think about how the principles that we'll talk about on the first and third Sunday mornings, how they apply to restarting at Graham Street. So the first three principles that I want to look at this morning is the idea that we have to be thinking about God's timing, God's authority, and God's power. If our restart is not in God's timing, in God's power, in God's authority, it won't work. It won't be what it should be. I want you to think about this morning about timing. You probably can think about some time in your life when something happened that you knew, you just knew it was God's timing. You knew you needed to do something. And God was giving you the opportunity. You could say no, but you knew you would be saying no to God if you did it. Back several years ago, I had the opportunity to move back to St. Louis. We had been there for several years earlier in our ministry. And then we moved away to the Northwest to minister there. And then we moved to California to work in the Los Angeles area for several years. And the church, there were two churches in St. Louis that I had worked with prior, not as their minister, but in consulting with them, that had split. They had been one church and they had split into two. But they were talking about the possibility of coming back together in one church. And I'd worked with a couple of other churches in helping them to come together in a merger. And I just felt that God was calling me to be a part of that. And we're very careful about how we use that language in our heritage. We try to be careful about what we mean by the calling of the Lord. We don't mean by that that God directly spoke to us and said, "Now, David, I want you to move to St. Louis." But I felt the timing was right. I felt like that's what God was wanting me to do, and go work with those two churches and help them to come back together again. You may have had similar situations in your life. What I want you to see this morning is in Ezra and Nehemiah, you have the situation where it is God's timing, exactly God's timing, for this coming back to Jerusalem and rebuilding the temple. If you have your Bibles, you may want to look at the beginning of the book of Ezra. And Ezra begins by talking about the idea that they're coming together. They're bringing this group of people together to journey back to Jerusalem for a specific mission that they feel like God has placed them in the position of doing. So in Ezra chapter 1, beginning in the very first verse, let me get back to Ezra. Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. In the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all the kingdom and also put it in writing. Thus says Cyrus, the king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and it's charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever is among you of all his people, may his God be with you, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. Now think about what he's saying. The king of Persia is authorizing, commanding people to go back from the captivity that they've been in and go back to Jerusalem from Persia and rebuild the city of Jerusalem and rebuild the temple to their God. Now, we know that this is the timing of God to do this because in Jeremiah, as it says, it's a fulfillment of the prophecy of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 29:10, Jeremiah said that they would be in captivity for 70 years and then they would return. Daniel, while he was in captivity, was researching the writings of the prophets and found the writing of Jeremiah where it said that in 70 years they would return. And it gave Daniel hope because while he was in captivity, he knew they were coming close to that time and that God would release the people from captivity and allow them to return. So when Cyrus makes this proclamation, he is fulfilling the prophecy of Jeremiah. It is 70 years from the time that Jeremiah said they would be in captivity and then they would be freed. It's the timing of God. We need to be careful to look for God's timing. You know, we've put a lot of attention on whether it's a safe time to do certain things. And I hope you don't feel like that the elders have made the decisions that they have made without a lot of thought in it. Because the elders constantly talk about when is the right time to do what we need to do. You know, we would love to be in one service and pack this room. It would help our worship so much if we could be together and have our voices blending together, packed in this room together. But that really wouldn't be safe right now. And when we decided that we better listen to what the CDC is telling us, and we need to pay attention to the numbers that we see constantly going up, and we need to pay attention to that. But I'm telling you that we need to pay attention to more than just what's going on with the virus, what's going on with the CDC, what the government is telling us from the county and the city, and what's safe in our area and what restrictions we should honor. All those things are important and they all need to be considered. But the most important consideration for us is the timing of God. What's God's timing? What does he want us to do when? There are often great ideas about ministry. People all the time are coming up with ideas. Wouldn't it be great if we could do blah, blah, blah? But that doesn't mean it's God's timing. And when it is God's timing, it's amazing what happens. It's amazing what happens when it really is God's timing to do a certain thing. When we come and join God in what He's doing, that's the best way to do it. Instead of struggling to try to get something off the ground, doing something in a way that we know God is moving in this way right now, enjoying Him there. I feel like what we were doing back when we, remember when we took up the collection for the Bibles that we're going to send? We stacked them up here on the stage in the boxes of the Bibles. Remember that? I think that was God's timing. I mean, you deserve a lot of credit for that. I'm not taking away from that. You gave generously to that. But it was God's timing. God's timing gave us a good English version of the Bible that was easy to read, that we could send to another country and it would benefit them. It was a version of the Bible that also had in the back of it the World Bible School material that we were already using in Zimbabwe. It became available to us at a great price. And there was also connected with that people that were traveling back and forth into the areas where we needed to have the Bibles delivered, that we were able to get it into their cargo shipments and be able to bring it at a good price for the freighting of the Bibles. It was God's timing. God was doing something, and we joined God in doing what He was already doing. And we need to consider how we do what we do going forward. All the things that we're planning on doing in the future, let's think about it from God's timing, not just our timing. Secondly, it needs to be in God's authority. One of the striking things to me as they go back and they start rebuilding the temple and they go back to trying to restore the city and rebuild the walls and so forth, you find this wording over and over again. As it is written in the law of Moses, or according to the command of the God of Israel. Sometimes we get so excited about what we're doing that it becomes our rules that count, or the means is justified by the end. Well, it's going to accomplish what we want to, so we don't pay as much attention to whether it's really what God has said we should do. In all that we do, let's never be slack in considering what God has authorized for us to do. There are certain things in God's word that we need to be doing, and we need to pay attention to it. There are also some things in God's word, there are some no's in there. There are some things that God's word says we should not be doing. And we don't have the right, because we think it's a good thing to do, to not pay attention to God's authority. We only have the right to do what God has commanded us to do. And thirdly, we need to be looking for God's power. I'm fascinated with the story in both books, how God moved the powers of government to open the door. For example, the king of Persia. Persia has the reputation of being the most cruel of nations in the way they treated their enemies. Here's these people who have been in captivity, taken over by the Babylonians, and of course the Persians defeated the Babylonians, and so now they're prisoners of the Persian Empire. They could have just as easily said, well, let's just slaughter all those people, then we don't have to feed them anymore. They could have said, oh, their slavery is not hard enough, let's make them do more labor than what they're doing. But instead, the king of Persia said, let's send them back. I want their God on my side. Let's send them back and let's let them build a temple to their God, and then maybe their God will bless me. Where did he get that idea? How in the world did he come up with that? He came up with that because God put it on his heart. That's what God's power would do. When you go over to the book of Nehemiah, You have Nehemiah hears the story about how things are going in Jerusalem. People come back telling him the message. The temple has now been built, but the city is in ruins. You got this temple standing in the midst of rubble. And the city walls are not even up around the city to protect it. And it breaks Nehemiah's heart. He's glad that the temple is finished, but there's more work to be done, and there's nobody doing it. And he's the cupbearer to the king. And the king says, "Why are you so sad?" And Nehemiah tells him. And then the king not only lets him go back to help rebuild the city of Jerusalem, but he gives him supplies and he gives him an escort and he continually supports the project. Why? How is that possible? Because that's God's power. Brothers and sisters, as we start restarting, let's don't leave God's power out of it. Let's put God's power in the heart of it. Let's pay attention to God's timing of his authority and of his power. I want you to understand that I have not always been a good leader through this. Some of you might say, "Well, you've never been a good leader." But I know there are times when my concentration has not been on these three things like they should have been. There are times I've focused more on logistics, and sometimes I've focused more on the negativity. Sometimes I've focused more on what people were saying that we can't do instead of focusing on what we could do. I want to restart. I want to recommit myself to doing better. One of the things that we need to do together is to be together. And we need to be together in our heart and our spirit, in our prayers. But we also need to be together in looking for God's timing, for his authority, and for his power in what we do. Back when we had to go for a period of time where we weren't meeting in the building. We didn't know what we were dealing with this virus. We wanted to be safe. We were trying to do everything as we understood we were supposed to be doing it. So we didn't meet in our building for a while, and we started doing things to prepare our building for when we could come back in, and we would social distance and we would mask and the different things that we felt like were the safe thing to do. If you'll remember when we first started our services back in our building, and actually we came back and then we had to stop for a couple of weeks and then we came back again. When we came back, I was trying to figure out, well, how do we do our worship services? How do we do it in a way that will best encourage us and yet at the same time keep us safe? One of the things I did to begin with was, instead of us having a song leader, we had audio slides that we used for that first service. Remember that? Some of you that were here. And I got a lot of criticism for that. They said, "We want to sing." So the second service that we came back, we didn't use our audio slides for the whole service. We still used it at the beginning and the end. Another thing that we did is I tried to say, "Hey, let's not think about coming to the end of the sermon and we have an invitation. We have a period, a block of time that I want you to consider anytime during that time to make a response. When I end the sermon from that all the way through communion, if you need a prayer, if you need to be baptized, if you want to identify with this church family during that period of time, our elders are ready to talk to you about that. We want to serve your needs." And one of the things that I was trying to do in that is to help us to understand that, you know, we can do that all through the service. But the communion was kind of an odd thing. And I didn't think we'd be doing it for very long. I was hoping that we'd get this thing solved and we could get back to doing communion in a way that we were more used to. But the little cup thing with the little bread in the top of it was kind of an odd thing, and it was hard to focus on what we needed to focus on. And I felt like we needed to spend time focusing in on one another as well as on the Lord. And I said, if you need to even get up in the communion and ask one of the elders to pray for you, we encourage you to do that. Well, I got some criticism for that. Some people said, you know, that's distracting. You know, having people get up in communion, you shouldn't encourage people to do that. That's distracting. That's mixing what you're doing with communion with something else. Well, I backed off of it. I quit doing that. And I shouldn't have. 1 Corinthians 11 is very clear that communion is for a time where we examine ourselves. If there's ever a time of invitation for people to look at their hearts and examine themselves, it's in the communion. And the communion is a time for the body to support one another and encourage each other. So one of the things I want to restart is I want you to consider from the time I close this sermon until one of our elders get up to say the closing prayer, I want you to consider that the invitation. I want you to respond to each other, and I want you to respond to each other in prayer. If there's anyone that needs a prayer from this church, I would like for you to feel comfortable any time during that period of time of coming to the elder who's going to be at the front that's going to say the prayer, or if you need to go back to the elder that's going to be in the lobby in the back, go to them and talk to them more privately maybe. And I want to encourage our elders' wives to be available to talk with the ladies who need to talk with a lady. But I want you to feel comfortable. I don't want you to feel forced. I don't want you to feel like that it's something that you stress out. But I want to restart this idea this very morning that if you need to respond, you know, we used to have the tradition of, you know, we have the invitation song right after the sermon. And that's really the only time that you're going to respond to the invitation is during the invitation song. I want you to know that any time after this sermon closes until the time that the elder gets up to pray, that we welcome your prayers. We want to hear what you need us to be praying about. And this morning, let's restart that. And I'll mention it from time to time. Because we need, more than ever, we need to be praying for each other. And if you have a prayer need, or if you want to be baptized, or if you want to become a part of this church family, and then I know there's some people who have been attending that they don't know, well, how do I do that? Well, that's a great time to do that. Let the elders know that you'd like to be a part of this church family. Let's restart that this morning, this very morning. So we're going to lead into the Lord's Supper. And then after the Lord's Supper, we'll sing a couple of more songs, and then we'll close with an elder's prayer, shepherd's prayer. And if at any time during that time you need our help, please let us know. Rusty?
To focus on the Lord's Supper this morning, I want to ask you just to slow down. Slow down and put all those worldly concerns and cares out of your mind. Realize what our Heavenly Father, through His Son, has done for us. And to get our hearts and our minds right before our communion this morning. My heart, my mind, my body, my soul, I give to you. Take control. I give my body a living sacrifice. Lord, take control. Take
in control. I am mine no more. I am mine no more. I've been bound with blood. I am mine no more. And Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord, and He rules my life. Jesus is my Lord, and He will come again. He will come again, and He'll take me home. He will come, and I am mine no more. I am mine no more. I've been bought with blood. I am mine
no more. We're going to take of the Lord's Supper at this time, because God commanded it. He commanded us to remember the sacrifice that was made for each of us in here this morning. I want to read first of all from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Father, we want to magnify your holy name this morning for allowing us to be here, and also allowing your Son to come to this earth. He was here among us, and Father, the sacrifice that was made because you sent him to do that. Thank you, Father, for that. As we commune this morning, we're communing with believers all over the world. By doing this, Father, we're claiming the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ until He comes again. We pray now that you would bless this loaf that we take of this time. To us, Father, we remember the broken body of Christ on the cross. And we do remember the pain and agony that He went through. And Father, we know He went through that for each of us this morning. Bless us now. We take this cup and pray this bread, Father, we pray that we'd be worthy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Or whenever you eat this blood and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Father, as we partake of this cup, we pray that we would examine ourselves. We know through this blood that was shed, we have redemption through you, Father. We know this cup represents the blood of the new covenant. Father, we pray to be worthy as we do this, and ever mindful of the sacrifice, not just today, but ever mindful of the cross, what the cross means. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for your help this morning and participation in singing. We're going to sing this last song, and then we'll have a few announcements and a closing prayer by a shepherd. Please sing right out.
Over all the earth you reign on high, every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power. Over all my dreams, in my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again, over every thought, over every word. May my life reflect the beauty of my Lord, 'cause you mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me again, Lord, reign in me, reign in your power. Over all my dreams, in my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again, Lord, reign in me, reign in your power. Over all my dreams, in my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in again. You are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again.
Refresh, revive, all the above. I want you to know that the eldership continues to seek God's guidance on what the future holds as far as worship services and what the eldership needs to be thinking towards and what they need to be doing. I know there's some apprehension about going to one service, but we have a desire to do that eventually. If you're a song leader, you have a desire to get to one service. But we're going to do it in a safe way. We're going to do it in a responsible way. We're starting small groups up tonight. Go to one of those if you're comfortable. If you're good with that, be safe, be responsible. We continue, like I said, we continue to seek God's will. And we continue to ask Him to lead us as we go through this. And He has. He has led us to this point, and He says He will continue to lead us. Be a blessing to people this week. The Savine family. Doug, I think Doug will be back today or tomorrow, he said. Continue to lift him up in prayer for strength and his two daughters. Bruce Caraway and Sherry Caraway. Continue to be in prayer for Bruce as he continues radiation and chemo both, I think. Ricky Cottle, an answer to prayer, was dismissed from the hospital. He is home. I think last Sunday it was announced he was in ICU. He went to another room, but he has been dismissed and he is home, so we're thankful for that. Also, there are people in this church family that's willing to help people get enrolled for the COVID vaccine. If you need help with that, if you may not have a computer in your home, you may not have the internet, there are people that consider that to be a ministry, and they are helping people get enrolled. Let one of the elders know, and we will help you with that. Angels rejoice. Grandparents rejoice. It doesn't matter if the grandparents in heaven are on this earth still, but Lindsay Gillespie was baptized as a child of God Friday evening here at the building. And Susan Trainum and Merle Joe Parks were so thankful. So thankful for that. Angels rejoice. Lindsay was told that your granddad, who is already in heaven, has a big smile on his face. So what a blessing. What a blessing that's been. Thank you for the people that's been a support in her life. Send her a card. Be an encouragement to her. Just continue to pray for this eldership. Continue to pray that we seek God's will and that we can get back to normal as normal is as soon as possible for our Graham Street family. There's nothing more important to this eldership than this church family. I want you to know that. We evaluate it every week. We evaluate different things every week. And we need to evaluate the way we've done things in the past and how we can be more effective as a church family in this community going forward. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. And Father, thank you for never giving up on us. Father, we know of the eternal promises we have through your Son, and we're thankful for that. Father, help us to stay the course. Help us to continue to seek your will. Help us not to be timid, Father, but help us to be courageous, and help us to continue to tell the greatest story that ever lived out on this earth. Father, we lift up the Savine family to you. We lift up Bruce Caraway to you. We're thankful for Ricky Cottle and the improvement that he's had. Father, also for Lindsay Gillespie being baptized Friday evening. Father, we're so thankful for that. Father, just thank you for your Son. We know that he could have climbed down off of that cross, but he stayed there for each one of us that we might have hope to live with you eternally, Father. And because of your grace, we look forward to that. Thank you again for this church family. Thank you for the leadership. May we always seek to do your will. It's not about any one family, Father. It's about your family here at this location. Thank you for loving us. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. We'll have a song to be dismissed by. Thank you for being here.